Amen. Praise God. Well, open your Bibles to two places, actually, Proverbs chapter 14, Proverbs 14 and Philippians chapter 4. Proverbs 14, Philippians chapter 4. And what we're going to be doing after we preach this message today, we're going to take communion together. We're going to receive communion together. And I know the Lord is going to talk to us and speak to us about that. Now, as we get into this, we're continuing this series on living a stress-free life. And it all began back a few months ago when I came to the studios of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast and sat in on a broadcast with Dr. Avery Jackson, who is a celebrated neurologist, very successful, over 10,000 surgeries under his belt, brain surgeries. And he spent time in that broadcast, which, by the way, those broadcasts will air this month. This month. You need to watch them. You need to watch all of them. But you need, and I think Glory and I, as I remember, it's either this week or next. Glory and I are airing, and I'm trying to remember, I think it's next week. Next Friday, we air our 365th broadcast that we've done together. So, but Dr. Avery Jackson, he talked about something that just so lit a fire on the inside of me. You've heard me talk about our brains lighting up when we give. That was one of the things that was discussed. But really the topic, talking about just the various things that we do that are connected to the health or sickness of the human body. Those things that we don't necessarily connect the dots on that we really should. And really he talked about stress. Talked about stress and the effect that it has on the physical body. Now, we've talked about together many of the medical studies that have been done that prove this out, what stress causes to the human body. And what I did was I spent some time just going before the Lord and reevaluating myself. I was looking at myself and I was saying to the Lord and to myself, what is it in my life that I may be doing that's harming my own body? I want to live that long, strong 120 years. I want to live, I want my youth to be renewed like the eagles. And so the Lord just began to unravel for me and show me some of the things that we need to do that will overcome stress and help us live a stress-free life. You know you can do that. That is possible. You can live a stress-free life. Some of you believe that. I'm not sure about the rest of you. Some are believing that. But that's why we have to preach, because faith for living a stress-free life comes by hearing the word of God. And when you hear it enough and it gets down on the inside of you, you really start believing it and you really start accepting it. And no matter what is going on around you, no matter what kinds of things are happening around you, no matter how much the pressure is on you, you can live stress-free, pressure-free, if you'll follow the things that the Lord has laid out in Scripture for us to do. Proverbs 14:30. The King James Bible says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. So this is interesting. When you read this scripture, and there are other scriptures that talk about this, they talk about the things that affect the body in a negative way. Envy, jealousy, anger. Those things have a direct effect on the human body. And as it says here, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. So somewhere along the way, you've got to make a decision. I am not going to be envious. I'm not going to be jealous. And in the Amplified translation, it says a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. I've been meditating on this scripture for a long, long time, getting that down on the inside of me. A calm, an undisturbed mind and heart are the life and the health of the body. So that's what I want to focus on. That's what I want us to look at, is developing this calm and undisturbed mind and heart. The Living Bible says this, a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Now, it doesn't say a lazy attitude. It says a relaxed attitude. We just came out of this Victory-thon, and it was pretty amazing. And I was thinking about it before we went into it. I had to really get a hold of myself because I realized at one point that last Sunday we were doing Sunday service. And then after Sunday service, we went over to the studio and we did rehearsals for the afternoon, came home, dressed for it and came in. And we were doing 4-hour segments at one time. And I was thinking, I was calculating it in my mind. Okay, Sunday night we're doing 4 hours. Then we're going to do 8 hours on Monday. We're going to do 8 hours on Tuesday. We're going to do 8 hours on Wednesday. And I just really had to get a hold of myself because I was getting tired before I even came here. And so I just got into a place before the Lord. I said, I'm going to relax. I'm going to relax in this. Now, how can you see a person relaxing and doing that at the same time? There's just an inner calmness and an inner peace that the Lord's going to lead us. He's going to take care of us and we're going to have fun. I made that decision before I went in. We're going to have a blast. We're going to have a great time in there. And I got to tell you, it was a blast. It was so much fun. It was so much fun to be with Jesse Duplantis for 4 hours at a time. And to watch him work. Oh my gosh, that was a riot. The man is like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps going and going and going and going. And it was so much fun to be with all of the programmers. And we were we had a flow. We had like a service flow for it. But we totally went off that service flow about 15 minutes into it. For the rest of the time, I kid you not, for the rest of the time, we were just being led by the Spirit just about 10 minutes at a time. 10 minutes at a time. I walk up to our producer, and our producer was Pastor Gene. And I said, okay, Gene, I looked at him. I go, okay, what's next? What are we going to do? So we'd start talking. Okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do this and that. Okay, we're going to do that. So we got back up there. I tell Jesse what we're doing, and here we go. And we did that for 29 and a half hours. It was fun. Somebody shout, fun. Amen. It was fun. So I made that decision. And you have to make that decision with whatever you're facing. No matter how serious it looks, you need to get into that place where you have a calm and undisturbed mind and heart. Why? Because it's the life and the health of the body. The New Living Translation. Oh, when I said a relaxed attitude, a relaxed is not lazy. It's not lazy. We were not lazy in the Victory-thon. We were working and we were working hard. Everybody in that place was working hard. But I was relaxed about it. It was just a most enjoyable thing to experience. So a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. See, what we've been talking about here all goes to the fact of receiving 120 years. You're staring at me. 120 years. What does it take to live 120 years? A peaceful heart leads to a healthy life, and a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. So, He fills my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. And Psalm 91 tells us, with a long life will He satisfy you and show you His salvation. Let's just take a relaxing moment break here. What do you say? Take a deep breath. Breathe out. Let go of the care. Let go of the worry. And make your decision. Make your decision. I am going to live a stress-free life. But you say, Pastor, you don't realize what I'm going through, what's happening, what's taking place in my life. Everybody is experiencing something in their life. Everybody has something that we need to use our faith about. And faith rests. Faith enters the rest. Because there are answers for everything that you are dealing with, everything that you are going through, every storm that's around us. We have the ability to stand before it and say, peace, be still. Shout it. Peace, be still. Glory to God. So I got to keep moving here. I'm just enjoying myself. Can you tell? Our quality and length of life is cut short or extended in relationship to how we handle the stress that surrounds us. The quality of life that we live, how we live on a daily basis, how our minds think, how our body acts, the quality of our life, and the length of our life. We want to live a long, strong life that even the older we get, the younger we look, and the younger we act. There's a rejuvenation, a restoration that goes on the inside of us. And we walk healed and free of whatever is said and written about how the human body needs to function the older it gets. Say this after me. The older I get, the stronger I become. The more healed I am. My mind functions perfectly. My body is whole and healed. I am strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might. Hallelujah! Whoa. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, so here are some of the things that we talked about. This is the sixth week we've been talking about this. Sixth week. So for those of my note takers, I'm going to list these down for you with the scripture references very quickly. We overcome stress by casting all of our care onto the Lord. That's the first thing that we talked about. You overcome stress by casting all of the care, all of it, over onto the Lord. And I like 1 Peter 5:7 in the Amplified Translation. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Him, for He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. You remember what we did some weeks ago about the international sign of casting your care? So there's the weight right there, and it's sitting on you. And the thing that we have to do is to cast our care over unto the Lord. Do this three times with me. Care on your shoulder. We're going to cast our care over unto the Lord. Ready, set, cast your care over unto the Lord. This really looks funny from up here. And cast your care over unto the Lord. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. The second thing we talked about, we overcome stress by laughing and rejoicing in the Lord. Ha 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 through every day, offering your faith-filled request before God with overflowing gratitude. Research studies have found that expressing gratitude has lasting effects on the brain and the body. Everybody stand up. It's gratitude time. It's Thanksgiving time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Grateful to you, Lord. I'm grateful to you, Lord, for everything you're doing. Everything you're doing. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Wow. Wow. Now that means you people at home, on the couch. Yeah, you right there. Stand up. We're going to do this again, just for you, just for the one in South Africa that's sitting on the couch. Yeah, I see you. You get up right now. Come on, come on, come on. Wow, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One of the scriptures that we talked about concerning that, the 10 lepers, and there was one that returned. What did he do? He gave thanks to the Lord. He was grateful to the Lord. And what did he get? Wholeness. Wholeness. He was made whole. There are people in here while we praise that are being made whole right now. Come on. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. There's something that Brother Hagin has talked about many years ago. You remember the praise cure. The praise cure. The praise cure. And as you praise the Lord, I mean health and healing just rises up. Why? Because praise is the language of faith. When you praise God, you are saying, I believe, I receive. I've got it now. I've got it now. I've got it now. Be seated. We overcome stress by receiving the wisdom of God. We talked about that. In Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The wisdom of God is the answer to everything we face. The wisdom of God is the answer to everything we face. Stop saying, I don't know what to do. Start saying, I believe I received the perfect wisdom of God. By faith, I know exactly what to do. We need to practice that because wisdom has been laid up for the righteous. How many have been made the righteousness of God in Christ in here? Hands up, please. Hey, there we go. Some of you were not as bold about that. If you are born again, you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So, how many in here are the righteousness of God? Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, say this after me. I believe I receive the perfect wisdom of God. By faith, I know exactly what to do. Boy, that really does something to me on the inside because stress comes from not knowing. It really comes from not knowing. What should I do? Where should we go? Where should they go to school? Where should I go to school? Should I change jobs? Should I stay at this job? It can get to be a place of great worry, but you have been given the wisdom of God. Wisdom is the principal thing. Principal means first in importance. It is the principal thing. So I've been receiving the wisdom of God. And really, you overcome stress of not knowing what to do by claiming by faith the wisdom of God. And if any of you lack wisdom, James 1 tells us all you have to do is ask, and God will give it to you liberally. Now, right now, put your hand up. Now, whatever it is that's going on, no matter what's going on, what's happening, say this, Heavenly Father, I believe I receive your wisdom in these situations. By faith, I know exactly what to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. So today I want to begin with, I've been talking for a long time here. This won't take long though. Begin though with a question answer. The question is, what is the opposite of stress, pressure, and worry? Does anybody know the answer? That's it. Say it.
Peace.
Peace, the peace of God. There's the answer right there. You all get a prize. I don't know what it is. The peace of God. That's what it is. And I'll refer to, before we go over to Philippians chapter 4, I will refer back to Proverbs 14:30 in the NIV. We read it a little while ago. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy life. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy life. Go over now to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We overcome stress by walking in the peace of God. Walking in the peace of God. And I know everybody has a desire for that. Everybody has a hunger to experience the peace of God. There's some people in here right now that are not sleeping at night. And you need to be sleeping at night. You need to get rest. Some of you are laying awake and you're thinking about what's happening tomorrow, what's going on, what's taking place, family, finances, health, whatever it is. You're laying awake at night and it's not doing you any good to lay awake at night thinking about that. You just need to be in the peace of God. And there's a place to live. I'm telling you, there is a place to live continually in the peace of God, in the rest of God. There's a place that we can live continually as we develop our faith in this, no matter what happens. No matter what takes place. As a matter of fact, hold your place there and turn to the 112th Psalm. 112th Psalm, I've got to read this to you because this is something that is so available for us, you and me. 112th Psalm, and starting in the first verse, you really can. You can develop yourself in the place that no matter what happens, your heart is so established and rooted and grounded in the Word of God that nothing moves you. Like the Apostle Paul said, none of these things move me. And he had a lot of things around him that were going on, but none of those things moved him. And you know what? It's wonderful. It's wonderful to be in a place like that. It's wonderful to be in a place where things may be going on around you, but you are truly experiencing the peace of God. And that peace is working down on the inside, and that whenever something happens or comes up, you just look inward and you feel that peace. And you even think to yourself, and I've done this before, I should really be more upset than I am right now about what's going on. But there's a peace. There's just the peace of God that rises up and comes up over me, that it solves the answer. It gives the answers. It solves the problem. And it's just a wonderful thing to experience that peace from God. And it says in the 112th Psalm, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. Or you could say delights greatly in his covenant, or greatly in the word of God. In the Word of God. And the result of that is, and this is a man, this is an individual, man or woman, who has rooted themselves so much in the Word of God. They're listening to the Word, they're feeding on the Word, they're going to church, they're going to meetings, they're exercising their faith, and they're developing. This takes development. You need to exercise this peace muscle that you have. And to walk in that place of peace. But it says here, as a result, in verse 2, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. His righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He's gracious, full of compassion, righteous. A good man shows favor and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. He shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. They'll be in remembrance of their covenant. Always remember. Remember what's in your covenant. Remember what's in your benefits. Remember what belongs to you in Christ. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. No fear. No fear. What would it be like to be absolutely void of fear? Empty. No fear whatsoever. That's the way to live. That's the way to live. To not be afraid of anything and to walk in the peace of God. All right, go back to Philippians chapter 4. We'll cover this very quickly. Philippians chapter 4. We overcome stress by walking in the peace of God. Verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Three different parts to the scripture. The first one is be careful for nothing. Amplified Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. The result of that is the peace of God. The peace of God. What is the peace of God? But it is the peace that passes all understanding. All understanding. And it will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I looked up the word keep there, and I found this to be very interesting in a study that I did with in Rick Renner's Sparkling Gems. Keep is a military term that expresses the idea of soldiers who faithfully stand their posts at the city gates to guard and control all who enter in. That's what it means. When the peace of God keeps, you can really say the peace of God guards. Guards your mind. It guards your heart. Things can come right up to you. But peace acts as a guard that keeps it out. Stress can be at the door, pounding. Pressure can be pounding. But it's the peace of God that's rising up on the inside of you. And it really is providing a protective shield around you. It's not just on the inside, but it's around you. So it'll keep you. That keep. It's soldiers who faithfully stand their post at the city gates to guard and control all who enter in. On all of the military bases that you go up to, you can go right up to the gate. And who do you find there? Guards, soldiers. They're watching who comes in and they're watching who goes out. And I remember when we were in Hawaii and we were just driving around Honolulu, and all of a sudden I find myself approaching the base, and I got on a road that I didn't know that I was on, and I went right up to the base, and the guard with the gun walked out to me, came to my window, and I said, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be going that way. He says, there's a turnaround right there. Go. He didn't let me in. He didn't let me in. And that's the same thing that the peace of God does. When you're operating in the peace of God, it can't get in. It's a guard. It's a soldier at the door that is preventing whatever it is, that worry, that anxiety, that care, that thought of failure to come in. You are not a failure. Stop it. You are not a failure. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are His workmanship. Created in Him to do good works. And you are not a failure. You are a success. And you are a success going somewhere to happen and to be a blessing to somebody. Don't let that in. Don't let it in. Don't let the lie of the devil come into you saying, well, I'm certain age and I should have been doing this. I should have done that. Condemnation. Condemnation. With the peace of God operating on the inside, condemnation and shame stops at the door. Every one of us have done things that we have regretted, and that we've asked the forgiveness of the Father for. Don't keep rehearsing it. Don't keep going back to it over and over and over and over again. All that's doing is building a stronghold on the inside that you just keep remembering it, and then you feed your body that, and it just keeps going throughout your body. Stop that. No matter what you've done, no matter what has happened, no matter what has taken place in your past. Number one, you have been forgiven. If you've asked for forgiveness, you've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. That is the only cleansing agent in this earth that cleanses us of sin and wrongdoing. So we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And it takes time for that to get out of the system. And even if you've done things, maybe even as a parent, growing up with your children, maybe your children have been estranged from you. Listen, the Lord can fix that. He can fix that. During the Victory Thon, we had a testimony about a woman who sent in a prayer request. She sent a seed in and a prayer request, and she was believing God for the restoration of the relationship with her son. The next day. I said the next day. Somebody. The next day. The next day, her son called and said, I want to come see you. Glory to God. So the peace of God builds a stronghold around you. No matter what is said and no matter what is done, it just can't get in. It cannot get in on the inside. In the Amplified Translation of verse 7, God's peace, which transcends all understanding. There are a lot of thoughts that we have. There are a lot of things that go through our minds. But this peace of God, it transcends, it comes up, it flies over all of those thoughts that try to tear you down, that try to tell you whatever the devil's trying to tell you. No, you rise up with the peace of God. You go on over, and it says, and God's peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Garrison. We're not talking about just one soldier. We're talking about a battalion that surrounds you, that protects you. Oh, my goodness. God's peace that transcends all understanding. It'll garrison, mount guard over your hearts, over your minds, in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the little literal translation, literal Greek. I believe Rick Renner was responsible for this. And the peace of God, a peace so wonderful that it cannot be compared to any other type of peace, a peace that stands in a category by itself and rises far above and goes beyond anything the human mind could ever think, reason, imagine, or produce by itself. And will stand at the entrance of your heart and mind, working like a guard to control, monitor, and screen everything that tries to access your mind, your heart, and your emotions. So I'll give this statement to you. The purpose of peace is to guard our hearts and minds, to prevent stress from entering in. I declare the peace of God over you today. The peace of God over you today. The peace that passes understanding over you today. One more scripture. You're right there in the vicinity. Colossians chapter 3. Go next door to Colossians chapter 3. We are to be led by peace. Peace is not only a guard around you, but peace is something that we follow and that we make decisions by. The peace of God. It says in Colossians 3 and verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. I like this in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Well, this first part of verse 15, let the peace of God rule your hearts. You know, there's an understood word there, and the understood word is you. You let the peace of God rule your hearts. I did a little mini study on this word rule here, and you look it up, it is the word in the Greek arbitrate. arbitrate. So I looked up the word arbitrator, and an arbitrator is an official appointed to provide an authoritative judgment or settle a dispute. That's what an arbitrator does. So let the peace of God arbitrate, or be the arbitrator in your heart. Let the peace of God be an official appointed to provide an authoritative judgment or to settle a dispute. When we're talking about settling a dispute, we're talking about being double-minded. Should I go this way? Should I go that way? What should I do? How should I handle this? Well, the peace of God is dwelling in us because he is the official appointed to provide an authoritative judgment and to settle that dispute. to settle whatever is going on the inside of you that needs to be settled. In the Amplified Translation, let the peace from Christ act as an umpire. What a great scripture. Act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with all finality all questions that arise in your minds. So now we talked about the word arbitrator. Well, now we're talking about the word umpire. You know what an umpire does. You know what a referee is responsible for. An umpire is an official who closely watches a game to enforce the rules on matters arising from the play. And this is what the Lord said to me. Let the peace of God call the plays in our lives. Let the peace of God call the plays in our lives. This, from the Good News Translation, it says, the peace that Christ gives is to guide you in all the decisions you make. Wow. The peace of God. It not only guards us from the strife, but we are to be led by the peace of God. It says in Isaiah 55, 12 in the NIV, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. Peace. We can be led and directed by peace in every decision that we make. Let's just talk about that just for a few moments. To be led by peace. To go before the Lord, let's say you have a decision to make. And there are three different things that you could choose in that decision. What is the driving force? What is the place that you need to get into to get the right answer? Peace. When you have peace about that decision that you are making, when you locate the peace of God, when you look at this one, or this one, and you see, you know what? The greatest peace that I have is seeing this one right here in the middle. That's where I get peace. And these other two can be good, they can be fine, but what we're looking for is the perfect will of God. And within the perfect will of God, there is peace. There is peace. So I've been practicing this lately in decisions that I'm making, the decisions that I'm making here at the ministry, the things that are going on here. I'm looking for the peace of God. What is the peace of God? Pastor, should we do this, 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 or that? Well, let me just pray about that. That question was asked to me the other day. How should we do this? How should we handle this? I said, just let me spend a little bit of time praying over that. And I thought to myself, I'll get the peace of God. I'll get the peace of God. There are a lot of transitions in our lives. We are always in a place of transition, going from one place to another place to another place. And we're always looking for, Lord, what would you have me to do? What do you want me to do? And whatever he has you to do, you will find the peace of God in it. You'll find the peace of God in making that decision, and you'll find the peace of God in that. You'll walk in it. So every decision that's made, we should be making those decisions out of a place of the peace of God. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying here about the searching and seeking after the peace of God? Lord, what's the right decision? And you know what it does? It takes the stress out of it. Because when I realize when we're facing, whatever we're facing, whether it's at home or here, I can look at that thing and go, number one, I'm not taking the care. I'm not taking the stress. I'm not taking the pressure of that. Number two, I believe I received the wisdom of God. I cast the care, I receive the wisdom of God. And what's the answer? I'm going to find the peace. I'm going to locate the answer that gives the greatest peace on the inside of me. That's how we're led. We are led forth by peace. The Holy Spirit will always lead you into a place of peace, of peace. When we were in Israel, this last tour that we took, there was a bus that was surrounded by Palestinians. One of the tour buses. I'm not sure I should tell this. I guess I should. Well, now that I'm into it, but we were all buses together, and all of a sudden they got detoured into another place. And it was Ramadan in Jerusalem, and this bus was surrounded, just surrounded with Palestinians. Who was on that bus? Oh, look at the hands go up. Look at the hands go up. You were on that bus. But I just, when they told us about it, I just had such a peace. I just knew we just lifted you guys up to the Lord, and you were surrounded, you were surrounded by more angels than you were Palestinians that day. And there was a little thing going on between the Palestinians and the driver of the bus, which we've taken care of that in the lessons learned meeting that we've had. That won't happen again. Anyway, but Greg, come up here real quick. Come up here real quick. You were on that bus. You were the head of that bus, weren't you? You were the head of that bus. And so I don't know. I hope for the illustration point that I'm bringing out here, I hope you were at peace. What was going on?
For a moment. I was not.
I can see that.
What happened is somebody hit our bus. One of the drivers hit our bus. And so our bus driver got out.
Yeah.
And they were doing what they do in the Middle East, communicating assertively one to another.
Kind of like shaking their hands like this and like that.
A little bit like that,
yeah.
Which drew a crowd.
Ah, the crowd.
And so I told our people, and it was so wonderful because mostly it was EMIC. How many people were on that bus? It was EMIC people and Texas people. And you were on that bus. And they began to pray. In the spirit.
Ooh, that just makes my heart.
And I said, and I just told everybody in the thing, just stay calm. Stay in your seat. Don't take pictures with your phone out the window.
I bet there's some pictures out there, though.
There's probably some.
Yeah, there's a few. Yeah.
But seriously, we just did. We stayed calm, and we began to pray in the spirit.
Yeah.
And the whole thing worked out. We had a wonderful dinner with you guys later, and it was just wonderful.
The Lord just made the way. He opened the way.
And we turned a bus around in the middle of an intersection with hundreds of thousands of people around us and got out.
Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Sounds like the peace of God just kind of came on.
Absolutely right.
Came on you.
Absolutely right.
Praise God.
And that was the main thing that I told our people. Stay calm. And then we just prayed in the spirit.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give God glory and praise and honor. Thank you, Lord. Stand up for a moment here. Stand up. In a moment, we'll be seated and we'll receive communion, but I want you to declare this after me. Thank you, Jesus. Say this after me. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Here's what we'll do. Whoops, slow down. Back up. Hand over your heart. The peace of God. The peace of God. There's peace available to every one of you here, those of you watching. Again, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening in your life, that peace is working for you. It's settling things. Settling things on the inside. Settling things in your mind. Settling things in your spirit. Settling things in your family. Settling things at work. Wherever I go, I carry the peace of God with me. Whenever I go into a store, whenever I go get gas, whatever, I've just got the peace of God all over me. When I walk into a place, a business, I just let the glory of God come in with me. Hey, everybody, here I am. I'm taking over. Airplanes, oh man, when we get on airplanes, we just take over and allow the Spirit of God. No panic. You know what? The peace of God just absolutely drains the panic and the fear. No fear, no panic. No panic about the future. I think that's one of the biggest things that people worry about is the future. What's going to happen? What's going to take place? And you have that peace on the inside. And there you get to a place where you can't even worry. You can't even think fear. Think about going to that place. It's available. It's available to you. It's available to me. There was a scripture I have a third page here, but we're not getting deeply into it. But listen to what Jesus said. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And then it says here, this is the Amplified, and it says, stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Why? Because the peace of Jesus Himself has been given to us. So close your eyes right now. Then, now, say this after me. I have the peace of God that passes all understanding.